water.
Yeah, we saw. A cup of water for the water.
I've been giving insurance for 30 odd years. I don't ever drink a cup of water.
We always like to give the option.
Huh? That's for salad.
Is there a specific topic or?
You want to put it in? You want to put it in?
You don't have to.
Put in Arbor Parishes.
Arbor Parishes, okay. No. This is lovely.
No. I think I'm fine. I think so.
Rabbi Beryl Knopfler, the Rav of Sinai, on the Arbor Parishes, Edgware Toyo Way.
Ready, sir? First of all, good morning, Rabbi Sai. And Shkoyach for allowing me to say a few words. Poiskim lichvod achsanya, emetz Hashem. I know it's just started, the whole concept and the whole idea of the Torah way. Emetz Hashem, you should go mechayel al choyel, and it shouldn't be too long that you should be having one every single morning.
Amen.
I want to, you know, after Purim, it's a bit difficult to say, I've got to speak about Purim, but I can speak about after Purim. I can speak about the Dalet Parshis, because we're in the middle of the Dalet Parshis, Shkolim, Zohar, Poro, and Chodesh. I also want to link together Parshis Vayakel, which is starting now, this week, Yakel Pekudi actually, and also a bit about Kisiso, because there's always a license for Balei Darshanim. Whenever they darshan on a Sunday, they can still darshan about the previous Seder. The simple reason being practical, that they probably haven't learnt the next Seder yet. So that's why we'll talk a little about Kisiso, a little bit about Vayakhe, a little about the Arba Parsha, a little bit about Purim, and link everything together, we hope. There is a posuk in the coming Sedra, which I would imagine none of you have reached yet, because it's just before Revi in Parshas Vayakel. The posuk says the following. I'm going to tell you over what the posuk says. I'm going to ask you a question. I'm going to tell you what the Degel Machne Ephraim says about it, and then try and explain exactly what he's saying. You all know Parshas Vayakel, it's a continuation of the earlier Parshas of the Mishkan. Moshe Rabbeinu commanded Klal Yisrael, Hashem, in the name of the Ribbono Shel, to set up a Mishkan, which was given over and handed over to Bezalel, basically to do. And the tzivui of the Meleches HaMishkan in the Torah is mentioned actually before the Chet of the Egel, because Truma is before Kisisa, where the Chet of the Egel is mentioned. But Rashi says, which not everyone agrees to, but Rashi says that there's ein muktam u'mu'ucha b'Torah. The Torah is not going in the chronological order of actually what happened, because the tzivui of the Mishkan, the command to put up the Mishkan, to set up the Mishkan, was all after the Egel. And when Moshe Rabbeinu came down from Har Sinai on Yom Kippur with the second set of Luchas, then he gave over the second set of Luchas to Klal Yisrael, and Vayakel Moshe was Mimochos Yom HaKippurim. He commanded them at that time, after the Ribbono Shel Olam had said, Solachti Kidvorecho, to build a Mishkan where the Shechinah should be Shoreh. And it seems to be, according to Rashi's Mahalach, that the whole Mishkan was acting as a kapora for the Chet of the Eger Azov, which Klal Yisrael did at the time. And the Ribbono Shel Olam says he can't anymore be Mashre, his Shechina, he can't be Shoreh Shechina amongst everyone. He's got to have a Mokoim, a special, specific place, which was the Mishkan, where there was Hashros HaShechina, and that was what spread and radiated over to the whole of Klal Yisrael. Now, there is a Pasuk. The Pasuk says that this. Klal Yisrael were commanded to bring all the materials that were needed for the Mishkan. And the pasuk says, "V'hamlocha hoisa dayom lechol hamlocha la'aseis oisa." The amount that they brought was plenty enough for whatever they needed in order to set up and to build the Mishkan, plus all the kalim and everything—the gold, the silver, the copper, the Tchelis, the Argomon, so everything was enough. And then there's another word, the Pasuk says, the Hoiser. The Hoiser means there was more than enough. That's how we would translate it in English. But Hoiser was left over. It was left over, there was more than enough, and they brought not only enough, as the Torah says, but the Hoiser is even more than enough as well. There's a question which maybe, if it doesn't have an answer, it wouldn't be counted as a question. But if it has an answer, we can certainly count it and consider it as a question. What was the necessity of this Vahoyser? And when I say what was the necessity, of course you can tell me there was no necessity, it just happened to be the amount that they brought. They were so enthusiastic about bringing the materials to the Mishkan that it was a fact. The enthusiasm spilled over. And it was actually, the Hoyser said there was more than enough. But it's a bit more to it than that, because if the Torah chooses to write the word the Hoyser, there's probably a kavona there and a reason why the Torah would be writing this the Hoyser. So the Degel Machne Ephraim was the grandson of the Baal Shem Tov. He says a wonderful pshat, and maybe we're going to try and explain it a little bit as well. He says the following. If you look carefully, and the Midrashim actually spell this out very clearly, when the materials and the kelim and the building of the Mishkan was parallel to the Briyas Olam, to the creation of the world. I mean, I'll just give you two examples. For instance, it says they had Urias on the Mishkan. Urias are the coverings over the Mishkan with the Urias. And you have a similar word, which we say in Baruch Nafshi, when the Ribbono Shel Olam created Shamayim v'Oretz, heaven and earth, Noite Shamayim Kayurio. That's the Urias. The Oir, the light in the Menorah, is Keneged Vahi Oir. And the Medrash, actually a Medrash Tanchum and Parshas Pekudei, goes through all the different Kalim in the Mishkan, which all were connected something to do with what happened in Briyas Olam. So the Degel Machne Ephraim says, there's one part of Briyas Olam which was not physically there in the Sheshes Yemei Bereishis. And this is, it sounds a bit strange to say, but this is the idea and the concept that the Chachomim, the Tanoim, the Amoroim, were mechadish in later generations, that also was built somewhere into Briyas Olam, and that's what the Vahoyser is. And straight away I'll tell you that he says Vahoyser is the same letters as the Torah. It's the Torah of the Tanoim, Amoroim, Gedolim of each generation, which adds to the Briyas Olam. Now I just want to explain that straight away. There's another Degel Machne Ephraim, it's a completely different place. You always know time of Simchas Torah and Bereishis, you like to link the end of the Torah and the beginning of the Torah, that they should be linked somehow and there should be a connection. Now the Torah finishes with Le'enei Kol Yisrael, actually about the Shviras Luchos, that Moshe Rabbeinu smashed the Luchos when he came down, the first Luchos when he came down from the mountain and saw the Egel, Le'enei Kol Yisrael, Bereishis Boro Elekim. So the Degel Machne Ephraim says, when Ribbono Shel Olam made the Sheshes Yemei Bereishis, the creation of Bereishis Bora Elokim, he did it Le'enei Kol Yisrael. What does it mean he did it Le'enei Kol Yisrael? Le'enei Kol Yisrael, according to the eyes of Klal Yisrael. This is explained by the Sforim, and he himself does, but he says it very, very much, very much Bekitzer. The Ribbono Shel Olam was Istakel Boiraisa Ubora Alma. Istakel Boiraisa Ubora Alma means he looked into the Torah as a blueprint, as the architect's paper or blueprint with which to build, and he looked into the Torah and built the world according to the Torah. That means it's not that the Torah fits in to Maaseh Bereishis, but it's the other way around. Maaseh Bereishis fits in to the Torah. Maaseh Bereishis, the way that Ribbono Shel Olam created the world, goes according to the way of the Torah. I'll give an example, a very simple example. Gemara says in Shabbos, there's a type of Misa, which is called Misas Askara. Whatever it is, type of way a person dies, called Misas Askara. And the Gemara says, why is there Mises Asker on the world? Why was there such a thing as Mises Asker? So the Gemara says it comes from the Aveira of eating Tevel. Tevel is untithed food. There's a chiv obligation to give Trumas and Masas. If somebody doesn't give Trumas and Masas, it's called Tevel. If somebody eats Tevel, it's Chayav Misa, and this is Mises Asker. That's Mefurash in the Gemara. That the Ribbono Shel Olam actually created that into the Teva of Tevel. Teva meaning it's by nature, that's what's going to happen if somebody eats Tevel. Even if a goy would eat untithed food, he'd put into himself a poison which would create in him certainly the potential of dying from this Mises Askara. Because Ribbono Shel Olam puts that into the nature of the food, of Tevel, that's what it does to a person. So he says the following, that there's no difference now whether it's a goy who eats it, whether even though a goy hasn't got a mitzvah to take Trumas Umasas, but the fact is it's a mitzvah, it's a fact. That is what Tevel causes to a person. Now I'd ask you the following question. You have a machlokes tanoim, a certain thing and a certain type of thing. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, it's Tevel. Rabbi Shimon Omer, it's not Tevel. So what's going to happen with this now? Is this going to, yes, cause the Misa, or is it not going to cause the Misa? What's going to be the nature of the thing? Is it or is it not? Depends how the Chachomim in every generation are going to paskan the Shala. If the Chachomim will paskan the Shala and say it is Tevel, then the Ribbono Shel Olam will put into it this poison, which, I'm only using this as a moshel when I say the poison, whatever it is, it's probably something Ruchni, not Gashmi, but whatever the Ribbono Shel Olam puts into it, if it's paskened by the generations that it is Tevel, that's what the Ribbono Shel Olam will do. If it's not, then he won't. Similarly, you can have in every different area of Halacha, something becomes a Shaila through the generations, then it becomes paskened through the Gedolei Hador, what its Halacha is. The Ribbono Shel Olam is then going to be a stakel by Reis or Bora Alma. He's going to look at what every Doyle's Gedolim are going to paskin on the Shaila, and he's going to create the nature and the Teva according to the Psak. And that's why Mechadesh B'tuvoy B'chol Yom Tomid Maaseh B'Reishis. We say in Davening, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mechadesh. That means he renews the whole time. B'chol Yom Tomid Maaseh B'Reishis. Why does he renew Maaseh B'Reishis the whole time? Because in every generation, there's shailas. The shailas become gepaskened by the Gedolei Hador. According to the way the Gedolei Hador paskens, that is the way the Ribbono Shel Olam is going to put into the nature of things, into the teva of the olam. And I'll tell you something. This is not news. This happened already in the time of the Gemara. You know, all know the famous story in the Gemara in Bava Metzia, where there was a machlokes between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yishoah amongst the Chachomim about a certain oven, whether it's got a din of tomei or it's toil, whether it is tomei, whether it's not toil. So they were having a vikuach in the Beis HaMedrash, a machlokes in the Beis HaMedrash, the Tanoim, and Rabbi Eliezer, who was the one who said whatever he said, the walls of the Beis HaMedrash should prove it to us, and the walls bent. And the Gemara goes on and says all different simonim that came from Shammai that he was right. And they answered back, we're not interested. HaTorah loy b'Shammayim hi. Once HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Torah, he gave the Torah over according to the Psak of the Chachomim. Ein mashkichin b'baskol. We don't even listen. If a baskol comes from Shammayim and says the halachas like Rabbi Eliezer, we don't listen to it. Because the Ribbono Shel Olam, when he gave the Torah over to Klal Yisrael, the Torah was given over to Klal Yisrael in such a way that everything now is in the hands of Klal Yisrael. In fact, there's a Gemara which says in Brochus, Loike midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu midas boss of Adam. What does it mean, Loike midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu midas boss of Adam? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not the same as a boss of Adam. In boss of Adam, if a moicher, somebody who sells something which has been in his family for years and years, he sells it and another person buys it. So generally, what happens is the moicher is not happy. The one who sells it is not happy. The lekech, the one who buys it, very happy. He's acquired something new. He's paid money for it, and he's acquired something new. The moicher who sells it, is unhappy. He needed to raise the revenue. He needed to raise the money for it, and he's had it in his family for I don't know how many years. He's unhappy. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Torah over to Klal Yisrael. Not the same. the Torah is happy. He's Sameach. Ribbono Shel is happy when he gave the Torah to Klal Yisrael. So the Nachas Yaakov, the Nosivus, he asks the Kashi, he says, understand, Torah, we all know, is here for all of us. Neir le'echot, neir le'meyah, you've got the Torah, everybody can learn it. Does it matter that the Ribbono Shel gave the Torah over to Klal Yisrael? Did he lose Kaviyochel something from the Torah by having given it over to Klal Yisrael? Why should there even be a suggestion that the Ribbono Shel Kaviyochel should be unhappy by having given away the Torah? It's not the same as somebody who sold something and doesn't have any connection to it anymore. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he gave the Torah over, he can learn it in exactly the same way as everybody else can. So why should there be any otsev? Why should the Ribbono Shel be unhappy about it? So the Nesiva says, with this pshat, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Torah over, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu actually wrote the Torah, there was a kavona in every single halacha. Everything is really covered for in the Torah. And it's not necessarily going to be the case that the gedolim, be it Tanoim, be it Amoroim, be it Rishonim, be it Achronim, are going to be mechavin to the emes the way Ribbono Shel gave it over. Not muchach, not in any way clear that they're going to. They might get the thing wrong, but it doesn't matter. Because when the Ribbono Shel gave the Torah over, Ein Ladayan Elo Ma She'ein Avroyos. Ein Ladayan Elo Ma She'ein Avroyos is, if a person in every generation, whichever generation it is, he learns Torah Lishma properly, and he comes out to a maskona or something, which is not what the Ribbono Shel Kaviyochel meant when he wrote the Torah, it does not matter. Because the Ribbono Shel gave the Torah over to the understanding of people in the Gedolim of every generation. And there's another Gemara in Bava Metzia as well. But the Gemara says there was a machlokes in Shemaim. I wouldn't be able to say it if the Gemara didn't say it, but the Gemara says that there was a machlokes in Shemaim, in the Pamalio Shalmalo, in heaven. There was a machlokes between Ribbono Shel Olam and whoever else was there, the Pamalim, the Shemalim, about a certain halacha in Hilchas Negoim, in Nega Tzoras, in Hilchas Tzoras, Baheres, Koidim, it doesn't make a difference what it is now to us. They called out in Shemaim, Rabba Bar Nachmeni Yachria. Who's this Rabba Bar Nachmeni who should decide what the halacha is? Rabba Bar Nachmeni was currently, at that time, the Godel Hador. He was the Lahavdil, the Rabbi Yashiv, of the generation. So Rabbi Bar Nachmeni was the God Lador. Rabbi Bar Nachmeni, he should decide what the halach is. It's going on in Shemaim, they can't decide, they need Rabbi Bar Nachmeni to decide. The answer is yes. After the Ribbono Shel gave the Torah over to Klal Yisrael, it was given over to the Psak of the Gedolei Hador, however it works out for them, lahalocha. Says the Degel Machne Ephraim, and I just explained it a little bit more. Says Degel Machara, this is Vahoyser. If the whole Mishkan was keneged, everything that's happening in the Bria, everything that's happening parallel to the Maaseh Bereishis when the Ribbono Shel created the world, where is this piece where the Ribbono Shel left in the world the concept of changing the Maaseh Bereishis according to the way the Gedolim of each generation are going to Paskan? That was the Vahoyser. The Vahoyser was a necessary component in the Mishkan. It was necessary to have this Vahoyser there in order to be completely parallel to Maaseh Bereishis, where the Ribbono Shel left the part over, which is Vahoyser Torah, the Torah which will be causing Paskan according to each generation. That part will be the extra part of Maaseh Bereishis, and that's the Vahoyser. So now you know Pshat in one word, just one word. In this week's Sedra, in Parshas Vayakel, in the Vahoyser. Now the truth, let's take this a bit further, because we did say that we're going to link all parts of the current season together. The Beis HaLevi says, and this is actually a drosha of the Beis HaLevi, very, very, very beautiful, how he explains the difference between the Luchos Rishonos, the first set of Luchos, which Moshe Rabbeinu smashed, broke, and the second set of Luchos. He says like this, it's based on a Gemara in Erevin. The Gemara says in Erevin, Ilemolei Nishtabru Luchos Rishonos, if the first Luchos would not have been broken, it would never have been such a thing. Imagine this, get quite excited about it. There would never have been such a thing as Shikchas HaTorah. Would never forgotten Torah. It means Torah would never be forgotten by anybody. You'd learn something, you'd remember it for always. After the first set of luchos were broken, then, obviously because of the egel, then it became a concept of shikchas ha-Torah. Same Gemara says another line, if not for the fact that the luchos would have been broken, it would never have been golus. Klal Yisrael would never have gone into exile at all. They would have remained the Sholem or Shalva and Eretz Yisrael, and there would not have been any exile at all, any golus at all. Beis Halevi says, very simple, quite simple. He says, the Luchos HaRishonis, which was the Ksav of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, everything was there. Anybody who understood the Torah could see every single thing, any shaila that would ever arise, he could read from the Luchos. If he knew how to do it, he could read it from the Luchos and he would know the answer. There would be no sfeikus. And the whole concept, listen to this, of Torah Shebal Peh, the whole concept of Torah Shebal Peh, which is actually brought down at the end of Kisiso, because it's Alpi Advorim O'Ele, which is Alpi Advorim O'Ele, is Torah Shebal Peh, would not have existed. Because everything would have been Torah Shebiksav and everything would have been written in the Torah. Says the Beis Halevi, because of the Shvira Saluchas, and because of the Egel, there was Nigzar on Klal Yisrael, there was a Gzeir on Klal Yisrael, that they're going to have to go into Golus. If they go into Golus, there's a new problem. The problem is, if they go into Golus, the Goyim, they're living amongst the Goyim. If they're living amongst the Goyim, then the Torah can be taken by the Goyim as well, which is a fact on Torah Shebiksav. Torah Shebiksav, they've translated it, and they've done whatever Lahavdil they wish to do, and the Ribbono Shel did not want this to be happening to the Torah Shebal Peh. So the Ribbono Shel had to give a Torah Shebal Peh, which was something which was only not supposed to be written down at all. It's not even supposed to be written down at all. We had Eis Lasis Lashem Yefere Toresecho, but really the whole Gemara and the whole Torah Shebal Peh Mishnayos should not have been written at all. Should have just been handed down peh from mouth to mouth, from generation to generation. He says, why? Because Ribbono Shel, since they're going into Golus, Ribbono Shel didn't want them to have any sort of shlita on the Torah Shebal Peh at all. So the Beis Halevi says, the Luchos HaRishonis, everything was there. There was nothing in the Torah Shebal Peh. The Luchos HaRishonis, different story. It was left over, and he says it so beautifully, the Beis Halevi, that Moshe Rabbeinu, at the end of last week, says he had the Karanei Hoid. He had this shining, whatever, Karanei Hoid. I don't know how to translate it, but he had this Karanei Hoid. He got this Karanei Hoid from the ink that was left in his pen, because he wanted to, in the second Luchos, write everything that was there in the first. The Rebbe says, I'm sorry, you have to stop at Torah Shebal Peh, you can't write that down. And he put it onto himself, and the Torah Shebal Peh was all his Karanei Hoid, which he had on himself. That's how the Beis Halevi, he explains it with one medrash after another, absolutely beautifully. You have to have a look at it if you have time for it. But that's what he says, the difference between the Luchos HaRishonis and the Luchos HaRishonis. Now, we know that the Gemara says in Shabbos, when Klal Yisrael accepted the Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is kof aleihem har kegigis, put the mountain over them. He says, if you'll be makabel the Torah, fine, if not, shom teik v'raschem, you'll get buried. So the Gemara says, they were anoinis, they were forced into accepting the Torah. And the Gemara says, mikan moidor rabba lo'iraisa. Moidor rabba lo'iraisa means, they've always got an answer available, that, listen, we were forced into it. How come we can't help ourselves? Says the Gemara, Afal Pikein, Hodor Kibluhu B'Meach HaShverish. They accepted back the Torah, and Rashi says, Mishum Ahavas Anes. They saw the Nisim that happened to them on Purim, and they were Makabel it B'Ahavo. So the Teretz, the answer of Oines, only went until the time of Achashverosh. From the time of Achashverosh, it became Ein Oines. Yeah? They were not forced anymore, but from then onwards, they were makabalit barotzen, their own free will, they were makabal the Torah. That's Hodok Kiblu Pimei Achashverosh. The Baditcheva in Kedushas Levi, he says, why didn't they want to be makabal, and why did they change their minds now? Why didn't they originally want to give him a couple? So, but Israel says like this. Medrash Tanchuma says, Be'emes they said Naseh V'Nishma. So they were Makabal the Torah before HaKadosh Baruch Hu did the Kof Aleihem HaGigis. The Kof Aleihem HaGigis was only on Torah Shabbat Peh, not on Torah Shabbat Kisav. Why? Because they saw that they were going to be subject to the G'dayle HaDor of every generation. The G'dayle HaDor of every generation, according to what they're going to paskin, that's how we're going to have to be Noheg. And they didn't want that. They didn't want to accept that part, that they should be meshuvad, they should be subject to whatever's going to happen according to the G'dayle. And it might change, because in one generation, the G'dayle might paskin one way, the next generation, that's what they were reluctant to accept. And on that, they were an oynis. It came to the time of Achashverosh, when they saw the Nisim, and let me just elaborate for a minute over here. We all know, the Medrash says, when Mordechai was lo yichra v'lo yishtachva, he didn't want to bow down to Haman at all. Klal Yisrael had tainas on him. The Yidden had strong, strong complaints at him. He says, you're causing us trouble. And they really, really, not legitimately, but they had genuinely had tainas on Mordechai that you're causing us a trouble. If you would listen to what you're told, Haman wouldn't have this sin and he wouldn't make these gezeiros against us. And they really felt that Mordechai, before in the Midrashim, that Mordechai actually brought the Tzorah onto Klal Yisrael. What did they find out in the end? They found out the truth in the end. The truth was that Mordechai was right all the time. Even though it appeared to be that he was creating the Tzorah, and he was the one who activated the nest that happened to Klal Yisrael, and Klal Yisrael was saved. They suddenly realized, listening to Gedolim, is the right thing whether we understand it or whether we don't understand it. Listening to Gedolim is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from us, and this is the way Klal Yisrael go forward. When they saw that, they realized that their original complaint about not wanting to be Makabal the Torah Barotzen, which was that they're going to be subject and dependent on the Psak of the Gedolim, it's a good thing, because they saw that even though they can't see things straight, but le'enei b'nei Yisrael b'reish yisbor elekim, in the eyes of the G'dayim, and who are the eyes of Yisrael? The eyes of Yisrael are the G'dayim. They called the Ein Ho'edo, they called the eyes of the Edo. They saw that. Once they saw that, they realized that it was a good thing, and Mishum Avas HaNesel won't come. And that's why suddenly the Luchas HaChronis now became part and parcel of Avas HaNest of Klal Yisrael, and there was no more Taina anymore that they were Oynes, because now they understood exactly what they should be doing. We're going through these weeks on, you start from Shkolim. Shkolim, the Mavua, that Shkolim is a kapora for Chet Egel. Shkolim is a kapora for Shmiras Aluchas, and there's even words, you know, Chatzi Shekel is called Beka. Beka Lagulgoyles, a half a shekel. The first Luchas had in it Akev, which is 172 words. And it's not my link, this is linked by the Balaturim and by others, that Akev and Beka are the same letters. Beka was given as a kapora for the Egel and the Shviras Aluchas, which was the Akev, 172 words. If you go all the way back to Parshas Chayasoro, when Eliezer found the Shidduch for Yitzchok and Rivkon, he said he gave Shnei Tzmidim, which was Keneged, the two Luchas, Asorozor, Mishkolim. It says there Beka Mishkoli as well. Rashi doesn't say, but Beka Mishkoli, I think maybe that's Rashi, does say, is Keneged the Chatzi Machzis HaShekel. Why? Because the Machzis HaShekel was there to be Mechaper on Klal Yisrael for the Shviras Aluchas. That's what Shkolim is all about. Now, Zohar is Purim. Purim is Hodo Kiblu B'meach HaShverish. The Hodo Kiblu B'meach HaShverish was this concept of the Luchas Shneis. And by the way, that's the link of Purim to Yom Kippur, because the second Luchas were actually brought down on Yom Kippur, and Purim is when they were Goymer, when they were Makabalit properly. That's the link of Purim to Yom Kippur. You know, it's Yom Kippurim. That's the greatness of the day. Parshas Poro is Mechaper on Chet HaEgel. The Poro is Tovo Yo'eim, and it should be mechaper on the chet of the egel. The mother poro should be mechaper on the egel. And you know, just you have a posuk in Parshas Poro, Zoyis HaTorah Odom Ki Yomos Bo'ehel. It says in the middle of the Parshas Poro, Zoyis HaTorah, which literally means somebody who dies, there's a din of tahara, tumah and tahara, Odom Ki Yomos Bo'ehel. So Chazal took a drosha from there. Ein ha-Torah miskayemes elo lemi shememis atzmei oleho. The kiyum of the Torah can only work with somebody who actually is memis atzmei oleho. He's mois nefesh for the Torah. That's how the Torah. How does that come into Parshas Poro? It's a very nice drosha, but it has nothing to do with Parshas Poro. It does. Because part of the Egel, Chet Egel, was that they became Shekhas HaTorah. Forgot. It becomes Torah Shabbat Peh. Only way a person can remember Torah Shabbat Peh is if he puts himself into it heart and soul in his Moshe Nefesh, Ki Yomus Bo'ayah. You know, like the Chofetz Chaim says, when you're learning in the Beis HaMedrash, then you should be Lahavdil, as if you're dead to the world. You're completely oblivious to what's going on in the world. That's part of the kapora of the Chet HaEgel, the Zayis HaTorah. That's Parshas Poro. Finishes with Parshas HaChodesh. Parshas HaChodesh is HaChodesh HaZeh Lechem. The greatest control that the Gedolei Yisrael had in the Bria was HaChodesh HaZeh Lechem. You know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says HaChodesh HaZeh Lechem, when they used to be Mekadesh the Chodesh of Pidi Edim, Beis Din had in their hands to control the Zmanim completely. The dates, the seasons, the years, they had in their control completely. So much so, there's a famous Yerushalmi, you know, the Yerushalmi says that a Basula, a virgin, Aloha is, if anything happens to her till she's 3 years old, then her Basulim come back. But if it's after she's 3 years old, then her Basulim don't come back at all. She's lost her virginity. The Yerushalmi says, that if she became 3 years old, she became 3 years old in Adar, and at that time that was supposed to be just one Adar, and it had already happened to her, and she was already 3 years old, and then the Chachamim decided to make a second Adar. So really, now retrospectively, she wasn't 3 years old, because she's only going to become three in Adar Sheni, and she wasn't 3 years old. Her Basulim will come back. It's clear in Yerushalmi that Klal Yisrael control the Bria completely with HaChodesh HaZeh Lechem. That's HaChodesh. So we have now Shkolim, Zohar, Poro, Chodesh, Purim, Kisisa, and Vayakel. And with that I want to end. It's a lesson to us that we should take home from it. We have to listen to our Gedolei Yisrael even when we don't understand it. If they say the right is left, or they say left is right, we have to listen to our Gedolei Yisrael. Thank you very much.
Can I ask you a question, please? So you're saying that basically Chazal have got the power to create reality as well. They're not just interpreting. When you make it, you're not just interpreting reality, you're also creating it. But what extent does the same reference go to the local law?
Shall I give you?